Good morning and welcome to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. And of course, it's Monday morning and we talk wheat. Texas wheat usually, but today we've got a special guest with us. He's from the U.S. Wheat Associates, been there a short period. He's been there about 3 weeks now. Very excited about his new career, Director of Communications for U.S. Wheat Associates. Mr. Ralph Luce joins us today. Ralph, welcome to the show.
I appreciate it, David. I appreciate you having me on to share some messages about wheat.
Now, I was saying earlier that you've been on the job about 3 weeks now, and you've had a diverse career. You're coming over from the cattle industry. Just give people a little bit of background of how you ended up at this point in your career in agriculture.
Right. It's quite a point A to point B through point F and G and H. I actually grew up on a farm in southern Illinois, just outside of St. Louis, across the Mississippi River. Hogs, cattle, wheat, soybeans, corn, dairy. You know, one of those farms, family farms. It's still there. My family's still farming. I went away to college and got my degree in journalism. Oddly enough, I was going to be a sports writer at a major newspaper. That was my goal. And I actually worked my way through college working in newspapers as a reporter and editor. And then the newspaper industry kind of hit a stumbling block and collapsed upon itself. And I thought, what am I going to do now? What do I know? Well, obviously, I know agriculture and I know communications and writing. So I took a position with the U.S. Soybean Export Council to begin with and spent almost 4 years as their communications person. I then moved to Denver, Colorado, and worked for the sheep industry for a few years doing their communications. From there, it was the U.S. Meat Export Federation, which is beef, pork, and lamb marketing products all over the world. Coming to U.S. Wheat, it seems like I'm sort of in the same, arena.
Yeah.
But now I'm learning a lot about wheat. Obviously, I grew up raising wheat, harvesting wheat, baling straw. But, you know, what you find out in a job like this, you know, right now, U.S. Wheat Associates, we work in 130 different countries.
Wow.
Kind of doing a little bit, you know, first of all, promoting U.S. Mm-hmm. wheat mm-hmm. in all those countries. But we also do a lot of trade servicing, technical assistance, you know, showing bakers and end customers in those countries, you know, the value and the quality of U.S. wheat, and basically what sets U.S. wheat apart from all our competitors, because there's a lot of competition, a lot of wheat growing countries around the world, and so, you know, our main job is to go in and show the importers and buyers in these countries, you know, why they should purchase U.S. wheat.
And that's sort of the mission of USW, right? Is you promote the reliability, the quality, the value of the six classes of wheat you have in this country. And as you start this job, you'll be moving from the Rockies there in Colorado out to D.C. You're going to see a different side of the industry. You've got a well-rounded background in agriculture, but this one with the Wheat Council going to D.C. is really about being an advocate or a partner with those producers, isn't it?
It really is. And when you get to D.C., you're on the front line. Mm-hmm. I've worked with, in all these positions, we've always had people that work in D.C., and they are really the ones who are there, you know, when a trade team wants to come in to the U.S. to learn about, you know, they want to go out and visit the producers. They want to visit the farmers. They want to go on the farm and see the crop. They want to see the production and how it's done. But they also, a lot of times, want to go to D.C. and they want to meet with, you know, the trade associations, everyone who's playing a part in that, you know, getting the document signed and getting it shipped, right? I mean, it's one thing to purchase products in the U.S., but it's another thing to get it actually shipped and delivered. So there are several steps, and D.C. is kind of the primary step to getting that work done. Yeah. So I'm excited to get there and meet with these people on a daily basis and all the agriculture groups. You know, we all kind of work together with the same, you know, to help farmers and producers around the country to get their products, to create demand, get their products exported and bump those prices up.
Oh, you just said in that comment that it's about opening up markets, getting those markets open for the product. And over the last 4 to 5 years, we've had issues with tariffs in certain countries. We've had drought. We've had a war has disrupted some of those issues. Right. How tough is it to explore and open up those new markets worldwide? Is that a daunting task?
It's multifaceted. There are a lot of things that have to happen. And incidentally, just 2 weeks ago, U.S. Wheat Associates, we had what we call our World Staff Conference, where we bring all our people from around the world to one place, and we talk about different markets, all the markets we work in. We talk about the challenges. And we had one interesting presentation from a man named Mike Kruger, who's he's been a market analyst and marketer for U.S. agriculture products for almost 50 years. And he talked about, you know, as a farmer and a producer, there's always something, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, every year there's something that's kind of an obstacle in the way of our perfect world. But he pointed out there are just a lot of things going on right now facing wheat producers and the U.S. wheat industry. He talked about the war. He talked about, you know, Russia and Ukraine together, you know, basically produce 30% of the wheat that's exported around the world. And so with that war, you don't know how it's going to play out. You don't know anything. And his big point was they're huge wheat producers. They're big competitors for the U.S. Mm-hmm. But their problem is that he's not sure they can ship anything. You know, it's one thing to produce all that wheat, but you have to get it to your customers, right? And he brought that up. The other thing that he brought up is very interesting for farmers and producers that many don't realize is there's really a competition for acreage right now. You know, we can sell a lot of wheat, but that means we have to produce a lot of wheat. Mm-hmm. And the competition for acreage with corn and soybeans just keeps getting more and more intense.
Yeah.
And a lot of it has to do with, you know, the recent, even though they've dropped quite a bit, the gas prices.
Yeah.
So there's a big push for what he calls renewable diesel, mm-hmm. you know, made with soybeans. And he says there's going to be demand for possibly 20 million more acres of soybeans in the next couple of years. And what does that mean for wheat? So as you know, the farmers in Texas, you know, it's a business, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I grew up on a farm. I talk to my dad all the time. It's a business.
Yeah, it is.
You
it
have
is.
To sit down and you have to think, mm-hmm. you know what, I've got this 40 acre field. What is that going to, what am I going to use that for? And you really think about it. So there is he brought it up. There's a concern is that no matter how much we can sell, we still have to produce that amount.
Yeah.
So there's a real battle for acreage right now. He brought that up.
Wow.
He called it the rush to crush for the soybean industry because this renewable diesel, it's going to take a lot more soybeans, and it's going to eat up a lot of the acreage.
Oh,
so there's a big concern about that.
About the acreage. Now, and you just mentioned it there. There's not too many businesses that you go into that has so many factors that the person has no control over. Everything from weather. The word for me in agriculture in 2022 is input cost. They have just shot through the roof, whether it be fuel or raw materials on the farm. In your position with wheat here, can you help or hedge the bet of a producer, like let's say your father? Are you guys there to kind of advise and say, well, you know, we can try to do this or up your acreage or this or that, but these factors go into place here?
There are tons of factors, and of course the USDA provides a lot of services to help a farmer kind of look at his inputs. You know, as far as we go, our servicing is more about the end product, right? We want to go into these markets and show, mm-hmm. like I said earlier, and show the buyers who would be the end buyers,
right?
You know, how they can use U.S. weed, mm-hmm. different ways to use it more efficiently.
Yeah.
We just want them to buy. An example is we, of course, hard red winter wheat, which is big in Texas.
Yeah.
I just wrote an article for our website yesterday about a program we started down there. It's an online baking certification program in South America.
Uh-huh.
And what it does, it started during COVID because it had to start during COVID. You know, a lot of our work around the world is in-person trainings and workshops with bakers and end users of U.S. wheat. Well, COVID hit in early 2020, and we couldn't do those in-person workshops anymore, training. So we went online, created this program, and even though COVID's kind of waned, it was so popular that we're continuing it. And what we do is we take the bakers and the millers in South America, and we show them. We take in hard red winter wheat, for example. The big competitor for hard red winter wheat is Canadian wheat.
Right.
Which, Canadian wheat's a little bit higher in protein, but it's a little more expensive. And what we show those bakers and millers down there is how U.S. hard red winter wheat kind of fits better with a lot of products than what the Canadian wheat does. And we literally take them through this modules, and workshop and show them how to use it, the best way to use it, and how it makes the end product, be it bread or other baked goods. And so we really kind of that's kind of what we do from the marketing side. Mm-hmm. We literally hands-on show them the advantages of U.S. wheat over our competitors. And that's really, our strength.
Yeah.
Aside from working, we work on the market access,
right,
opening up markets like you talked about. There are a lot of challenges to opening up new markets. One example, but we've had success. One example just recently, actually a couple of Texas Wheat Producer Board members, Director Gary Murphy,
mm-hmm.
Hosted a team from Myanmar, which, is a new U.S. wheat customer.
Wow.
And they visited his place down in Waco, and Ken Davis, one of the chairman of the board from Grandview, was also on hand. And so we set those kind of things up. A lot of the buyers from different countries, they want to come here and see, they want to meet the farmers.
Mm-hmm.
They want to see their property. They want to see how they produce wheat. And for them, it's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. It's a big investment. And you want to see that article about online baking program putting U.S. wheat top of mind in South America. It's very informative. They talk to the bakers, the producers. You see the product. You can go to uswheat.org, go to their newsroom section, and it's right there, September 8th. You just put it out yesterday, and I'm looking forward to reading this. One thing that everybody will ask and want to know is, how is USW funded? Checkoff program, correct?
We get funded by the producers, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when it comes down to it.
Yeah.
And, the checkoff, and as with every, be it corn, soybeans, beef, pork, we all have that checkoff. And what you're paying for with that is our work around the world.
Yeah.
And all the research shows the return. The key word is ROI, which is return on investment.
Right.
And the most recent research shows that, wheat growers here in the U.S. get about $23 back return for,
wow,
for every dollar that's invested in this work in foreign markets that we do. So there's a different return on investment,
mm-hmm.
For wheat producers.
Yeah, that's a major stone right there. So major.
You know, in USDA provides a lot of funding. There are several programs, what we call the MAP, the Market Access Program, that helps us go into these countries and work on the access and do the promotion. Foreign Market Development, FMD, those are also funds that we can use to do that. But really, it comes down to the wheat producer. They're investing in themselves, basically.
That's it. Yeah. Self-help, in other words. You're really betting on yourself in this thing.
Yep.
Now, upcoming, any activities that you guys are working on that's front of mind?
There are tons of things going on right now. Of course, you know, a lot of the harvest has wrapped up. And so we keep analyzing the numbers to see what it looks like. And, you know, and already we'll be looking into 2023 to see what's going on. There are doing a lot of work. We have a team from Taiwan coming to D.C. next week. I'll be in D.C. for that. They're going to come in, a buying team, and they're going to sign a letter of intent to purchase U.S. wheat next year. So we have that coming up, and we'll show them around and those sorts of things. We have a lot of work going on out in the plains in Kansas. Mm-hmm. We have a research center there that's doing a lot of work. So there's always something, right?
Yeah.
As I said earlier.
Yeah.
And it's been a good year, and we're hoping 2023 will even be better.
Well, congratulations on your new position. You know, it seems like agriculture, things overlap, and people who work in this industry really take it to heart. You grew up on a farm. You know the day-to-day perils that these folks face, and I think you're going to be dynamite doing this and representing a great product in U.S. wheat.
You know, when I go out and I do, like, you know, the article I just wrote, you talked about the baker, the online baker program, and when I talk to producers about that, I always take the same approach as I wonder what would my dad think about what his questions be, right?
Yeah.
Because I mentioned earlier, you know, farmers and producers, they're business people,
right?
And there's in my experience, they're among the smartest business people, mm-hmm. because they have a direct approach, which I really appreciate.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy getting out, and I'll be doing that a lot in this position, is going out and sharing stories, telling the stories of different farmers and producers. I'll be in Texas talking to wheat producers, and that's what I really enjoy doing. It gets me out and gets me back on the farm and getting out of my office in D.C.
That's it. That's exactly it, is getting out and about every right. once in a while. I know it. Well, congratulations, man. You're going to knock it out of the ballpark. Thank you for what you do for agriculture. And enjoy your tenure here. And we really appreciate you stopping by and visiting with us.
Anytime.
All right. That's the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. You can find this interview on our website at kgncnewsnow.com.